lay your hands on me. Lay your hands on me, Lord. Lay your hands on me. Oh, Lord, I need your hands. Lay your hands, lay your hands, lay your hands. Lift your hands high. At the count of three, you will place those hands on your head with a shout of touch. Lift your hands high. Lay your hands on me. Lay your hands. Lay your hands. Ya Father, lay your hand. Lay your hand. Lift your hands high. And at the count of three, bring your hands on your head. And scream, touch. And some people will drop. Right now. Receive His touch. One, two, three, touch. Receive His touch. Receive His touch. Receive His touch. To break the yoke, to break the chain, to set the captives free. Receive His touch. 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 Receive. Receive. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the touch on the lives of your people. And thank you, Lord, because not one person will live here the same way they have come. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. As you take your seat. Name is holy, holy Lord. Oh, your name is holy, holy Lord. Psalm 1. Welcome everyone here to this morning service. Bring you greetings all the way from Ilorin in Kwara State. We had the most explosive program there. Psalm 1, verse 1, all the way to verse 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Destiny destroying character, part 3. Our objective in today's teaching is to understand character traits that destroy destiny. We saw on Wednesday that a man's character, a person's character, is connected to their destiny. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. 1 Corinthians 15:33 said, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Dunamis Croydon, the Lord bless you. Cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and grant you a great time in his presence today in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Say amen. Joseph, Daniel, Esther, Paul the Apostle, our Master Jesus, were people whose character shaped their future. And I said some time ago, you are not doing anything about your future until you are doing something about your character. So, what character traits do we watch out against if the future must not be aborted? Number one, which is the only one we've dealt with in this service today, is called pride. 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 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, number one, the lust of the flesh, two, the lust of the eyes, three, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, the pride of life. Isaiah chapter 28 and in verse 1. The Bible said, woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower. Every crown that makes a man proud will bring him a curse. Woe to the crown of pride. Every elevation, every promotion, every position that makes a man proud brings him a curse. Every wealth, every influence. If you doubt, you can ask Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar said, I built this Babylon by my power. And God said, is that so? Let me show you who owns Babylon. And sent him to the bush. Daniel chapter 4, if you read from verse 29 all the way to verse 37, he sent him to the bush. Herod gave a speech. And the people said, this is not the voice of a man. This is the voice of a God.
In Acts chapter 12, verse 21 to 23. And God smote him. He died on the spot. Every crown, every opportunity, every position, every influence that brings a man into pride will bring him into a curse. That was why Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23, he said, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Do we have examples in scripture? I gave plenty of examples before now of personalities that were dealt with by pride. I already mentioned Nebuchadnezzar and Herod to you. One of them is Lucifer. It's Lucifer, the archangel, in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12, all the way to verse 15. The Bible said, Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12, all the way to verse 15. It says, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyros and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship. This was a guy that was created out of precious stones and has music equipment wired into him, tablets and pipes. Was prepared indeed in the day that thou was created. Thou was thou at the anointed cherub that covered it. And I have said this so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked upon up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. By the mud. Thou was perfect in thy ways. From the day that thou was created until iniquity was found in thee. What iniquity? Pride. I will be like the Most High. I will ascend to the sides of the north. In Isaiah chapter 14 from verse 12 also to verse 15. I will become like this. I will become like that. That pride was responsible for the crash of Lucifer. But let me give you two further examples in this service, which is our example number 5 actually for today. Pride was at the root of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. Pride was responsible for the temptation that led to the fall. How was it pride? Lucifer introduced into man the same mentality he had. Try and become like the Most High. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 to 7. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, that is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and then a tree to be desired, to make one wise, so she can be like God, she took of the fruit thereof. And did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The way of pride is the way of nakedness. The way of pride is the way of vulnerability. The way of pride is the way of shame. The way of pride is the way of reproach. Is the way of shame is the way of reproach. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 2 said, when pride cometh, what is the next thing that come? Then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. The way of pride is the way of shame. is the way of shame. The one who is proud today is the man who will be ashamed tomorrow.
Pride was at the root of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. Second example, pride was at the root of what I will call the disaster of Moses. It was at the root of the disaster of Moses.
In Numbers chapter, you know, God used Moses to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt so he can take them into the land of, into the promised land. But along the line, Moses could not take them into the promised land. What happened? Numbers 20 verse 10. God said to Moses, gather the children of Israel and speak to the rock so he can bring water. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, ye rebels, must we, me and God, or me and Aaron, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Must we? Moses, and Moses lifted up his hand with his rod, he smote the rock twice. That was another rebellion. Speak to the rock, not strike the rock, not to talk of smiting the rock twice. That rock was Christ, according to Paul the Apostle in Corinthians. The rock that followed them was Christ. Christ was meant to be smitten once, crucified once, not twice. And Moses struck the rock twice. This is the third time now, because he struck the rock before. God said, you have smitten the rock before, now speak to the rock. He will respond. Moses said, we, you rebels, must we, me and God, we are at the same level. We are the one to fetch you water from this rock. And God said to Moses in verse 12, because you believed me not to sanctify, the word sanctify is to honor me before the people. You decided to honor yourself because you have refused to honor me before the children of Israel. Therefore, you will not bring this congregation to the land. Do you understand the meaning of this? You will not bring this congregation to the land. Hi. I'll tell you the meaning shortly. And then, when Moses was at the boundary of the promised land, he went back to God in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23. I'll read to verse 26. He said, I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord your God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to your works and according to your might? I beg you, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan. I beg. I know I made mistake before. That goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me for your sake. He will not hear me. And the Lord said, suffice it now. Speak no more unto me on this matter. Get thee up to the top of Pisgah. Lift up your eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward. And behold it with your eyes. For you shall not go over this Jordan. Your eye will see it, but you shall not enter it. It is like packing into a new house that you did not live in. It's like dying the first minute you enter the new house. It is traveling all the way to South America and being turned back at the airport. It is entering the boundary without stepping into the inheritance. It is arriving at resources you could not enjoy. Moses was the friend of God. Moses was the man that God spoke face to face with. He told them, he said, if there were other prophets, I spoke to them by visions. I spoke to them in dreams, but Moses is not like that. I talk with him mouth to mouth. He is my friend, as a man speaks to his friend. It was his friend that God was saying, don't mention this thing again. There is nothing that will change my mind. You honored yourself before the people and dishonored me. There are many people who have a future that they couldn't enter because of pride, arrogance, arrival too soon. Am I communicating at all? There are many great anointings that will never see the light of day because the pride is too much. God cannot trust the man with grace because it will be diverted. Am I communicating at all here? I read the story of a man. This man, in those days, as I heard, whenever he was dancing, the cripples would be walking. Just his dance. People would rise out of wheelchair. And the anointing was so strong. Until one day he became so inflated. He said, the world is now under my feet. Under his feet. That is the title of God. The heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Only God can talk like that. That was the last meeting that man went. Because the glory of God he will never share with a man. The person who wrote said it looked like all the affliction that that man sent out of people returned back to him before the end of his life. You will never end like that. You will never end like that. You will never end like that. Beloved brothers and sisters, it is better not to see the promised land than to see it and not enter it. He said, take a look at it. See how beautiful the land is, but you won't enter. See how powerful that realm of manifestation and grace and glory is. But you cannot enter. You will not miss it. Somebody say aloud, amen. What is pride all about? First, pride is an exaggerated sense of self-love. It's good to love yourself. But when you overlove yourself, exaggerated sense of self-love, especially when it is to the detriment of others, is an exaggerated sense of self-admiration. Exaggerated sense. Self-love, self-admiration, self-glorification. Self-adulation. When a man becomes too big in his own eyes, that was the iniquity of Lucifer. That is elementary sin. What is pride all about? It is, number two, existence with disdain. For others, disdain, disregard, disrespect towards others, disdain, disregard, disrespect, existence in snobbishness. The proud person is snobbish, in condescension, looks on others with condescension. Proud people rarely see the worth or the value of others. So they easily devalue people. They can shout on a matured man in the front of everybody. So on. Doesn't mean anything. When we say somebody should be humble, he Humility does not mean looking down on yourself. It's a healthy estimation of who God has made you to be. Very healthy. Very healthy. So there is an unhealthy dimension. You estimate yourself in an unhealthy way until it is exaggerated. That is pride. What is the consequence of pride? What is the outcome of pride? First of all, we saw in the first service that pride goes before a fall. And a haughty spirit goes before destruction. Pride goes before a fall. And a haughty spirit before destruction. There is an easy way to know that a person is about to crash when his shoulder is raised like this. There is an easy way to know that a person's future is not far when the hand is like a peacock. Number two, pride disconnects people from the presence of God. God can never tolerate the arrogant. That was why he sent Lucifer from heaven. Pride can't survive in his presence. Seven things God hates. Number one is a proud look. Proverbs 6, 16 and 17. A proud look, a proud look, a proud look, a proud look. And Psalm 138 verse 6 is very instructive. Very, very instructive. He said, even though God is high, very high, yet he respects the lowly. The lowly. But the proud, he knoweth from afar. When a proud man is coming, he identifies him from a distance and gives him the distance he desires. The proud, he knoweth from afar. Number three, pride deprives people of grace. 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 It deprives people of grace. It deprives people of opportunities. It deprives people of help. The help of God. The grace of God. The help. It deprives people of anything that God can give. James chapter 4, verse 6. He said, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisted the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. He resists the proud. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 5, God resisted the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisted the proud and giveth grace to the humble. If man resists you, God can assist you. If a witch resists you, God can assist you. If a devil resists you, God can assist you. But if it is God himself who is resisting you, who can assist you? No pastor under heaven. God assists everybody, but he resists somebody, the proud. Am I communicating? And to the humble, he said, take more grace, take more anointing, take more power, take more help, take more ability. One day, a man came to my office. We're in Irrawan at that time. He said he was working in Shell, and he said we're in university together. Even though I couldn't remember him, but the things he said made me believe that we're in university together. And he said he came to town, he was stranded, and he needed help. I looked for a little money in my drawer and gave it to him to help him transport and so on. He looked at me and he said, Pastor, I feel so ashamed that I should be coming to church and coming to you to ask for money. I am the one that should be bringing money to church and bringing money to God, bringing money to you. And even though it was my personal money, I gave him, not church money. He was so profusely humble and appreciative that I looked for more money. And I gave, I said, take more, take more. He appreciated more. When he left, God said, you just behaved the way I behave. He said, when I see people who are humble and appreciative, especially appreciative, I overdo myself. I go beyond my intention. Now, I want to contrast it with a second example. Take yourself. I sent for a man and his wife that needed help, spiritually and otherwise. And I said, I said, how are you going to come? He said, oh, they don't have any money at all. They are going to come by road. I said, all right, don't bother coming by road. Tell me the airfare from where you are coming. I'm going to pay the airfare of both of you and you will come. His response was like an entitlement mentality. Okay, thanks. I said, really? So I sent him a message. I said, don't bother coming by flight. Be on your way by road. When you arrive, we will talk. He arrived, he was on a schedule of prayer and fasting. By the time he was through praying, I called him to my office with his wife. And I said, you know what? I planned for you to come by flight. But when I saw your response, I said you should come by road. I said, there is something you need in life. Everybody needs to succeed. You know what he did? He replied me, humility, with his mouth. Then he said, Pastor, you have diagnosed my life's problem. You just gave me. He said, this thing has closed my doors from the beginning. He said, I would have been bigger than this now. He told me how you'd have been working in the highest place in power in Nigeria today. But that the same thing cut him off. He lay down on the floor, was crying tears. And I said, thank the Lord, he has diagnosed your condition. And I was so happy for how sincere he was. And I also was so happy for how I was able to confront the situation. By the time it was true, I told him, your life has changed. I linked him up with somebody who was to assist him with a particular situation. And the person said, go and bring your budget. You say, how much? 10 million. Go and bring your budget. Already, before he left here. He said, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I'm grateful. Thank you, sir. I said, what is your flight back? You are going to go back by flight. Give them extra money beyond the flight money. How many doors have been closed because of those who have an entitlement mentality? Because of those who are bankrupt of appreciation and bankrupt of humility. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. There is someone seated here today. The grace you need for your next level is coming your way right now. If you are saying amen, say it louder, amen. The grace you need for your next level is coming your way right now. Finally, pride will cost people eternity with God in heaven. Eternity. And I said it in the first service. If Satan, if Lucifer couldn't remain in heaven because of pride, who can enter heaven with pride? Lucifer couldn't remain in heaven with pride. He crashed down from heaven of pride. And I tell you a funny story. In our university days, There was a young man I was following up. I think got him filled with the Holy Ghost. I was just assisting to follow him up in the Lord. Suddenly his behavior became somehow. He was always in a prayer meeting with a particular sister on campus and so on. And just his behavior became somehow. And I said, bro, this behavior, I don't understand. How are you trying to counsel the new convert? You know what he told me? He said, you know, when eagles are flying, vultures cannot understand. With his mouth. Me, that is bringing you up in the Lord, I am now vulture, you are eagle. Alright. Go ahead with your eagle manifestation. Suddenly the girl was pregnant. That eagle did not finish university. He flew away. That eagle. I don't know if he's in the faith now. After about so many years, now I read one church. I saw him. Like somebody rain beat. Full of afflictions. He couldn't see. Full of multiplied afflictions. The eagle became less than vulture self. The eagle became chicken. You see, please, it doesn't matter what you know or have. Don't ever forget where you are coming from. And that is going to lead us to the treatment or the therapy for pride. Treatment. What do I do to handle pride? First, is the realization, the revelation, and realization of our nothingness without God. Our nothingness without God. I will share with you some of the scriptures that dealt with me coming up as a Christian and still dealing with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7. I read it in the last service, but I want to read it in this service still. It said, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou did not receive? Now, if thou did receive it, why do you boast glory as if you didn't receive it? If you can sing and the other person cannot sing, how did you give yourself the singing ability? If you are tall and the other person is short, when was it that you manufactured yourself? If you are fine and the other person you think is not fine, what did you do to make your face look like that? Show me another translation. And what do you have now? Look at this. Everybody read it together with me. One, two, go. What are you so puffed up about? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if all you have is from God, why act as though you are so great and as though you have accomplished something on your own? Give me another one. One to go. Who made you superior to others? Didn't God give you everything you have? Well then, how can you boast as if what you have were not a gift? Give me the Amplified version, maybe the Classical Amplified. If you have, or the regular Amplified version, or the Revised Standard version. For who regards you as superior, or what sets you apart as special? What do you have that you did not receive from another? And if in fact you receive it from God or someone else, why do you boast as if you had not received it but had gained it by yourself? You just take a scripture like this, pray, read it again, pray, until it is ingrained in your life. Is God speaking to someone here at all? What do you have that you have not received? Good. Bible in basic English. One to go. Who made you better than your brother? Or what have you that has not been given to you? But if it has been given to you, what cause have you for pride? As if it has not been given to you. What cause have you for pride? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 5. Second scripture. Look at that. And then we'll just run quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Give me other translations. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. Not as if, I like you to look at this one, is a bomb. One to go. Not as if we were able by ourselves to do anything for which we might take the credit. Anything you can take the credit for, the credit goes to God. One translation I can't remember, I think it's Phillips Modern English. I don't know, I'm not sure if they have it. He said, it is not as if we have any power to do anything of lasting value. Anything that is valuable. If there is anything good that came out of your life, God was the reason. Everything bad came out of you. Anything good came because of God. I think that should humble us. Second, after realizing our nothingness without God, the second is the revelation of God's glory through intimacy. When you see the holiness of God, you will see your filthiness. When you get close to God, you get far from pride. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 10 to 16. Look at how David humbled himself. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. I can't be great by myself. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. Thine is the victory. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. When you know God, you will know your nothingness. In Luke chapter 5 verse 8, after Jesus performed an unusual miracle, Simon Peter fell down at Jesus' feet and said, please leave me alone, I'm a sinful man. Standing in the atmosphere of this your almightiness, now I can see my own nothingness. How do you treat pride? Camp around God. Let him continually show you himself. As he shows you his almightiness, you will see your nothingness. Don't hang around people who blow, who puff up your head. Don't hang around people who cause you a bloated, swollen head. Don't hang around people who are telling you who you are and what you are minus God. Camp around God. It will humble you. Finally, how do you handle pride? The revelation and realization of who and what you were before God helped you. Who were you? What is your people? outside of God? Who are you outside of God? What is your people outside of God? Nothing. If you read further, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, beyond verse 10 where we just read, David was saying, who am I? What is my people? What is my people? What is my people that you should do this to me? At times I look at myself. I say, of all of us that grew up in the same class, why am I here? God. Of all of us that fasted together in 1979, we did a 3 days fasting together, young boys and girls. Total. No food. It's not as if we fasted more than anybody else. He said, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of who? Of God, who showeth mercy. Not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God, who showeth mercy. Can you show me another translation? One translation says, it's not a question of human will or effort. The same point was made when he said, okay, go ahead. Not of him that willeth or runneth, but of him that showeth mercy. Give me Amplified Version, New Living Translation, or NIV, one of those. So God's choice is not dependent on human will nor human effort, the totality of human striving, but on whom God shows mercy. On whom? It's not, you are not here because you are powerful enough to be here. There are people who are more intelligent than us, who prayed more than us. There are people who may even have better behavior than us. And God said, I have chosen you. I have decided you to be here. And there is nothing anybody can do about it. When you realize that, you calm down. Am I communicating at all? When I see a classmate of mine or a childhood friend of mine asking for school fees for their children, I rush to do it in appreciation to God that I am not the one looking for that. I don't think I deserve to be here. Oh Lord, I am assisting this person, but I'm also giving him as an appreciation to you. If only you can remember where you are coming from and what you could be outside of God, you will never forfeit where you are meant to go. And don't forget, for the sake of your eternity with God in heaven, run from pride. Stand up on your feet. Lift your hands and give him the praise. You will fill my cup today to overflowing. As the Lord commanded me, bring your vessels, not a few. You will fill my heart today to overflowing with the Holy Ghost. Oh, today to overflow, only as the Lord commanded you, bring your vessels, not a few. You will fill my heart today to overflow with a hope. Holy Ghost and power, you feel my to overflowing. As the Lord commanded me, bring your vessels, not a few.
He will fill my heart today to overflow.
And do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. Oh, do something new. Do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new. Lift your hands and give the Lord the praise for this moment. Give Him the honor for this moment. Worship Him. Glorify Him. What a mighty, mighty God we serve. We worship You. We honor You. And we adore You. Thank You because You are faithful. Thank You because You are mighty. Thank You because You are awesome. Blessed be Your name, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. I want to give the opportunity to everyone here today before I pray on the impartation of His help. Say to me, Pastor, I want to make my ways right with Jesus. I want to be genuinely born again. I want to be free of pride and every trace of sin, addiction, bondage, negative lifestyle that can take you to hell and make life miserable for you on the earth. I want to be free. Pick your Bibles, pick your bags, and be on your way forward. Carry your Bibles, carry your bags, and be on your way forward. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to make my ways right with God. I want today to be a new day for me. Lord, I give You my heart. I give You my soul. I live for You alone. Alone. Every moment I'm awake. Every moment I'm awake. On Your will, Lord. Everybody see. Lord, I give You my heart. I give You my soul. I will give You the honor for this morning. Those of you in the front, place your right hand on your chest. If you need to rededicate yourself to Jesus, also step forward here. You have given your life to Jesus before, but you want to do it again. Also step forward. Place your right hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, I come before You today to surrender my life to You. Forgive me my sins. Today, I have decided to follow You, Lord. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever, backward never. From today, it is my decision to serve You, to love You, to live for You, and to follow You. Thank You, Master. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of the enemy broken off your life. Grace to live for God is released upon you. I call it dawn. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah.